I tell you what, I was sitting with the Lord probably a couple years ago, and I had been playing this chord progression on my guitar. And you know, like when you hear the Lord start to sing a song over you, you know, like these aren't your thoughts at the time, but you're truly hearing a song from heaven. And the song said, he said, "You've broke up fallow ground and you've planted all your rows, but did you let me take out all your stones? What kind of crop can you grow in a field filled with stones? If your heart was a garden, would you even know?" And you know, I think that just applies so much today. Like, it's our job to read the word and let the word of God break up our fallow ground. And sometimes, man, I go ahead and I just plant my rows. You know, like I could have put corn where God wanted to put tomatoes. And sometimes I need to allow him to come and remove all those stony places of my heart, because he truly knows, like, man, what kind of garden are you going to grow in a field filled with stones? If your heart was a garden, would you even know? You know, I got all these notes wrote out, but man, all I truly want and all I desire, I'm not interested any longer in trying to do something for God. I want my life yielded to the extent that God could do his thing through me. And so even in this atmosphere of worship and praise, you know, adoration is the key to intimacy. I'm going to share this because receiving is a big deal. Receiving the Lord into us is union with him. That's how we become one, by receiving him into us. When we take communion, it's communion with the Holy Spirit. It's eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And there's a requirement on our end to do nothing but receive him. Our striving to enter in, our striving to connect, man, he's made the way. He's made the way. Actually, as a matter of fact, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so if nothing else happens today, I want us to understand something, that waiting on the Lord, I never found value in it before. You know, like I always thought I had to be doing something for God to be pleased with me. And really, he's saying this, man, in the midst of your enemies, I've prepared a table for you. Will you dine with me? But Lord, there's enemies all around. I got all this stuff to do. Will you eat with me? Will you cease from your striving and your efforts and your abilities, and will you eat with me? And we don't have Philistines or Canaanites or Amorites out the door, but what we do have is our fears and our insecurities, and our doubts, and our worries, and our unbelief. Those are enemies of my soul. But in Psalm 23, he assures us that he will lead us beside green pastures, and he'll make us lay down in green pastures, he'll lead us beside still waters, and he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Nothing pleases God but what he does himself. And unless I yield my life to the extent that God could do his thing through me, I could do all this stuff for him, and we could pray for all the sick. But you know what? There's a place of grace that empowers us to lay down our life, that God himself would come and possess us. And that's only found in one place. We don't flesh these things out here on Sunday mornings. We flesh these things out behind closed doors. E.M. Bounds said, "God's man is made in the closet." And I think sometimes the things that I need revelation on the most is the things that I think I already know. Like, obviously, we're Christians. We know how important prayer is and being still and being quiet. But I had no revelation of it. I had no revelation of the fruit that would come out of intimacy with God. I'm so worried about moving around and trying to do, I'm not being still long enough to be kissed. And you husbands know what it would be like to approach your wife and want to kiss her passionately, and she continued to move around and didn't engage with you. That's going to do something to your heart. The Lord is longing for a bride who will be still enough to be kissed. Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you. So even now this morning, before we go any further, I want us to just enter a place of stillness before God where our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions are completely surrendered to Him. Because if the Spirit of God does not touch the soul of man, we can go on from here and never be changed. I want to be transformed this morning, Lord. So, Father, all of my worries, my cares, I lay them down at your feet even now, Lord. Lord, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would increase in your presence in this place. God, that we would leave seeing you and receiving you. So, Lord, quiet our hearts even right now, Lord. Teach us what it means to truly wait upon you, Lord. Or we drink you in even now. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. Yes, Lord. Amen. Everything we do is empty without the daily life exchange with the person of Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. When we commune and have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He is continuously revealing to us the Son. We can have everything in order. We can have all the revelation that there is, but without personal interaction with Christ, it's dead empty. If there is any foundational block that I have found, it is coming to Him. Coming to Him. Every attack that the enemy sets up against us comes between us now and the cross. Because he knows that if we can get to the cross and die, that God will raise us with resurrection life. Amen? That's a big deal. Our coming to God. Listen, the river isn't stopped up in heaven. The river is stopped up in my mind. It's stopped up in my heart. It's stopped up in my offenses. The river of God is continuously flowing. And I can be in it all day long and still die of thirst. I must drink Him in. We must be able to drink in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And in this atmosphere, right now in this place today, turning all of ourselves over, I want the mighty rushing wind, but sometimes I fail to give myself over to a light breeze. How can I be trusted with the power of God if I can't even be still enough to receive a kiss from God? That's my heart this morning, that we would leave here with things to think about our daily life, our secret place, our daily communion with the Holy Spirit. So whatever those things are, you know what it is. You know what those things are that keep you from coming to Him. Let's just make it a purpose today to lay those down. Phyllis said something the other day, a couple weeks ago, and I can't remember what she said, but she goes, "It's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord." Might is our efforts. Power is our ability. These things, I want to yield these things personally in my life. You know what I mean? My efforts, my abilities, my strengths, whatever it might be, my weaknesses. We come to God in our failures, and we come to God in our success. Because ultimately, we know in that place that our life has been yielded to the point to where He alone gets all the glory. But this is fleshed out behind closed doors. When a man sees God in the closet, let me tell you something, the world will see God through that man. That's what I'm interested in. I want the world to encounter Jesus, but in order for them to encounter a Jesus they can't see, I have to encounter a God in the secret place that I can see. Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. That's what Hebrews tells us. And we set ourselves, and it says this in Matthew 6, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When we come to Him for anything other than Him, we'll miss Him. I could come to God all day long for the things that are around Him that are good. But if I come to Him for anything other than Him, I'll miss Him. And my itch to move on from that place of stillness really stems from a desire of something other than Him. When I go and I sit with the Lord, however long that may be, I guarantee you everything is going, that's why He says shut the door, because He knows not only how many things are going to try to get in, but that you're going to want to run out. It really brings us to a place where we got to deal with ourselves. There's no one else in there other than you and God. And I know that waiting leads to presence, which leads to voice, and I need His voice daily in my life. It's manna that came down from heaven and that continues to come down from heaven. The scripture. The Bible is the only book that the author is required to be present while you read it. This is like a shell of a peanut. Do you guys ever eat boiled peanuts? You don't eat the shell. You break it open, and on the inside you find nutrients, which when consumed become nourishment, enabling you then to walk out the nature. So I need the Holy Spirit to breathe on this book, to crack it open, that I might find a living Christ within it. That He says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. Everything. I mean, we have an invitation to come. He says, come to me if you're weary and heavy laden. Come to me and I'll give you rest. Yeah, man, geez, oh man. Why is this so important? You know, the Pharisees knew what God said, probably better than anyone else, but they had no idea what God was saying. See, there's a difference between relationship and religion and being this, that they had an idea of what God had said for hundreds of years, but they had no revelation of in that moment what God was actually saying. And so it's His living voice. What God has said, everything in here becomes a foundation in which we build our life, but the living voice is the grace that enables us to walk out the things that God has already said. That's what I mean when I say that nothing pleases Him but what He does Himself, is because I need to receive His living voice daily. That is grace and empowerment that enables me to walk out what He has already said. The reconciliation. This is so good. It is the restoration of God and man finding pleasure in one another. That kind of changes my perspective of everything that I think about reconciliation. Let me read this again. Listen, the gospel is the offering of God's presence to men. Habitationally, no more is it just a visitation, but it becomes a habitation to where we literally become this over. We become the Ark of the Covenant. We become the carriers of the presence of God. The reconciliation is the restoration of God and man finding pleasure in one another. That completely changes God's heart, my perspective of His heart towards me. When I realize that I'm His greatest desire, the Lord said to me one time, He says, man, although the nations rage against me, I'm most concerned about your heart. And it kind of allows me to see the whirlwind of things going on around me, that God isn't even looking at those things so much as he's looking at me. And so often I put all my efforts in trying to get God to look at these things instead of me stopping and just looking at God. That's his heart. That's his heart, that I would cease from my striving and my worrying and I would just look to him. And in that moment, we find out, man, when David says that I'm the apple of your eye, keep me as the apple of your eye. David had a revelation of not only is this a prayer of protection, but it's a place, and I shared this with you guys before, but it's a place where David had drawn so near to God that he was able to see his very own reflection in the eye of God. And that's the invitation that we've been given into, to come and to draw that near. I believe God has placed value upon things that seem insignificant to men. It seems that he will establish those who give themselves so completely over to him that they are no longer concerned with being established at all. I mean, we're talking about, we say it's an inside, outside, upside down kingdom, but truly that's the establishment that is right. We're kind of like the upside down ones, you know? We're kind of the ones that have it backwards. And we strive to be established, and God is just saying, man, will you just rest in me to the point to where you don't even care about that anymore? That's what I mean when I say I'm not interested in trying to do something for God, man. I just want my life yielded to the point he could do his thing through me. God's ultimate desire is for your heart. I truly am talking about a waiting life, which is a crucified life. Jesus said in John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to the Father but by me. We all have that memorized. But this is what the Lord spoke to my heart about this. Jesus says that I am the way because he knew that man by nature would walk upon principles rather than direct guidance of his voice. I am the way because he would knew that me and myself would walk upon principles rather than direct guidance of his voice. But we have to be still in order for his presence to come. Genesis 1:2 says that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. Imagine this, even now in your heart. Imagine your heart being this void, empty place. And the Spirit of God hovering over the deep places of your heart, waiting for what? The voice of God. And I tell you, the areas that God speaks into your heart life, there'll never be death. The areas of your life that God speaks light, there'll never be darkness. We're talking about a voice from eternity into time. The prophetic words that we receive are coming from a place beyond our understanding. That's why it'll continue to change you. If you receive these words, we're not trying to make the words come to pass. We're just trying to fulfill the character requirements that God would fulfill that word through us. His word, it is his living voice that changes us. Jesus said, I am the truth, because he knew that man by nature would cling to truths surrounding him and forget all about him. As I read this, I want you guys to just ask the Lord to continue to reveal the heart of the Father and what intimacy and relationship with him really looks like. I pray that we gain a perspective today that we understand on an even greater level that the heart of the Father is for me to give him fully my heart. Jesus said, I am the life, because he knew that man by nature would find a way to live for him without drawing life directly from him. He is our life source. The only way that I live is in Christ. It's not knowing about him. It's knowing him intimately, personally. If you guys have your Bibles open, I want to turn. Lord, where we go first? Lord, let's go to Psalm 25. Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Why is waiting so important? You know, Psalm 24, verse 6, if you guys could look at that really quick, it says this: "This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face." In the Old Testament, there was no actual Hebrew word for presence, it's face. So when David is writing this, he's saying, listen, this is the generation of Jacob, those who seek him, who seek his face. I want nothing more and nothing else than the presence of God in my life. And I'm sure that everyone in this room can agree that there's nothing that you desire nor long for or hope for other than his living presence constantly in our life. That's what this is saying. Psalm 25, verse 1. David writes this. He says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause." Now watch what happens in verse 4. There's three things here I want to look at. He says, "Show me your ways, teach me your paths, lead me in your truths, and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." It is in our waiting that he shows us. It's in waiting that he will teach us. It is in waiting that he will lead us. If we go ahead, we're not led. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get ahead of God. I would rather wait all the day and be inspired to pray one word from heaven than petition with you know, tons of repetition. I would rather hear what Jesus is praying in one word and pray that back to heaven versus me try to pounding on heaven's door with a bunch of repetition that isn't even reaching out of my room. But it's quieting my soul. David says, "I lift up my soul to you." My mind, my will, and my emotions, it's a place of rest. It's a place of just turning all of our attention to him. And he says, "In this I wait on you all the day." Cultivating the knowledge of God requires the discipline of waiting. It's not going to be easy at first, I promise you. You don't get to sit with God all the day without first struggling for 5 minutes. Like, it's okay, but I encourage you to do it because there's secrets of God's heart. Or can I say this? I'll say it this way. God does not reveal his heart nor his secrets to any passerby. He reveals his secrets to friends. He reveals his heart and his secrets to those who diligently seek him, who God can trust. I want to be a man who God can trust with his heart. But it takes me choosing him over me every day, all day. And that only happens by waiting. We could be it wherever you are during your day. You could be working and still be waiting. It's the position of our heart. Although the secret place and getting locked up with God, I encourage you to get locked up. Fast, pray, seek his face. Wait on him to come, and I promise you he will. But it's out of that place then we go into our everyday life and we live a life of waiting on God. I'm not talking about like, what shirt should I put on today, Lord? But as we're just doing our life, we are still hearing from heaven. That's in the waiting, our heart is softened. I can tell you guys amazing things that happen in my prayer closet. But the thing that I'm realizing to be a greater miracle than all the manifestation is that my heart can be softened in that place to hear a living voice from heaven. And I don't have to look any further than what's already inside me. The change that needs to take place in you is already in you. I just need to give my soul up to God and let him breathe life on a new place of my heart. Cultivating the knowledge of God requires the discipline of waiting upon him. As used here, wait, this is what this word wait means. It means to bind together through a process of intertwining, clearly suggesting the virtual envelopment of the soul with God. He longs to mingle himself with us. He desires, listen, I shared this with Kenny the other day. Nobody can get pregnant by holding hands. You can't get pregnant by committing yourself to knowing about pregnancy. You can, what's a book, What to Expect When Expecting? You can have that thing memorized and still not get pregnant. There's only one way, and that's intimacy when no one else is looking. Receiving Jesus is the exact same way. We could be faithful and diligent and committed to everything else in our life, but if I don't get alone with him and let the sweet kisses of his lips penetrate my heart, I'm never going to have my life come alive in his hands. To wait upon the Lord is to foster a sensitivity both to his presence and his promptings, which quiets our hearts. It focuses our minds through thanksgiving and praise. Adoration is the key to intimacy and allows him to reveal any subtle attitudes or forgotten sins that would otherwise dull my sensitivity to his voice. To meditate on God's word and to respond with focused worship. We have to dedicate times alone with God for waiting for interaction with him. Jesus. Psalm 91 says, those who dwell in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Most High. Have you ever read Psalm 91 and seen all the promises that come after verse 1 and 2? Like, there, we will not fear the arrow that flies at noonday. You know, pestilence and destruction won't come towards our house. These are all things that come out of abiding in the secret place and dwelling under the shadow of the Most High. Jesus, in waiting we find rest. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes rest is the thing that I need most reminded of to enter into. Our senses are constantly ambushed by our surroundings, but the presence of Jesus frees us from their influences. This is called rest. There is a constant frustration of desire that brews in the soul, but the presence of Jesus frees us from it, and it's called rest. This one I struggle with. There is a constant stress that the tick of time puts upon the soul, but the presence of Jesus literally frees us from it. This is called rest. In Exodus, it says that Moses went up to God. I pray that we all continue and to go deeper in our ascension into God. It's not just a journey with God, it's a journey into him. Moses goes up to God. It says he goes into the mountain. He goes into the cloud. But in order to go up into, sometimes that means I have to leave everything else that would otherwise weigh me down at the bottom of the mountain. I don't have to go to Mount Sinai to climb the mountain. All I have to do is just look within. You guys understand what I mean? It's a place of rest. We must experience him. It's only in us giving our souls over to him that we can experience him. Some say we can't live by experience. That sounds pretty safe, but don't fall for it, because without experience, we don't live. I have expectations when I go into waiting. Sometimes I wait for something to happen when I'm in his presence, and I fail to recognize that his presence is the happening. That's the very thing that is going to speak life into my soul. It's going to continue to renew my mind. Intimacy and obedience out of that place is how we steward his voice. Sometimes the Lord will sit completely still for a while just to see if our personal ambition will move us on without him. This is why the practice of his presence is so important. That's why coming into a place where we do this on an everyday basis, where we sit and we wait for him. And sometimes he may sit still just to see if I'm going to go ahead and take things into my own hands just to get done what I think needs done. But I can't do anything about what's going on inside. Only his voice and his presence that comes by waiting is going to be the satisfaction I need for my soul. His will is in his words, you guys. This is what we're going to do. I know it's taken me practice to learn how to practice his presence. It's taken me practice to learn how to allow his promptings to come and quiet my heart long enough that I would hear him. And I know we all have a devotional life. And I could go on reading, you know, these notes and all this other stuff, but I feel like a lot of us are Marthas. And the thing about Martha, she heard. She heard what the Lord was saying, but she was only catching bits and pieces of what God was saying. You know, where Mary was at the feet of Jesus the whole entire time, Martha doing, you know, being busy doing the stuff that needed to be done. As she would come into the room, she would hear bits and pieces of their conversation. And then she'd go back off, and then she would do her own thing. And in that place of hearing and going and doing her own thing, there was a space in between there where the enemy was going to be able to allow Martha to fill in the blank with her own thoughts of what she thought Jesus was actually talking about. So when we come and we hear a word or two from the Lord, and then we go on and we do our own thing, it allows a snare. It allows a stumbling block to come in for the enemy now to twist truths. And even as Mary poured out the oil on Jesus' feet, listen, I can guarantee you that the entire house filled with the fragrance of the oil. But there was only one person that left that room the day with the same oil on her as Jesus had. That's the anointing that I want. That's the oil that I want on my life. I don't want to just smell like him. I want to have the very oil of the Holy Spirit upon me as it was on Jesus. And that means ceasing from my striving and sitting at his feet and just hearing his heart. Jesus is asking us a question this morning. He says, I am willing to pour out my deep. Are you willing to pour out yours? I don't want to be Martha. Heaven comes to earth when the eyes of the soul looking out meet the eyes of God looking in. The best prayer is not when we speak to the Lord, but it's when the Lord speaks to us. When was the last time that we just wept at the Master's feet? I want to find one thing here I want to say before we move on to the... Listen to this. The natural man is addicted to activity and lives by movement. Therefore, the sweet, still nothingness of God will always be nonsense to him. It may seem nonsense to say, dude, I'm going to waste a whole day sitting and doing nothing but looking at Jesus. But my soul has never prospered so much as to allow the eyes of my soul looking out meet the eyes of God looking in. And then I'm transformed into his image from glory to glory. We must experience. Godliness is the exhale of having inhaled heaven. Sometimes I'm in such a weak place of constitution that I feel that I would die if I would enter into silent prayer. Jesus says that he can do nothing, the Son can do nothing on his own other than what he sees his Father do. What does this mean? This means that Jesus was able to perceive his Father. Therefore, he was able to receive his Father's life into him. Jesus' life was yielded to the extent. Listen, he was God. And he still chose not to do anything on his own. How much more do I need to sit and be still and not move ahead in my own ambitions if Jesus, fully man and fully God, decided before he even came that his life would be yielded to the extent that God could perform through him what he spoke to him? I need his living voice. I need his living voice, and I need to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood daily. And so, there's a song that I want to put on, and I want us to, some of these things, if any one of these things has jumped out at your heart today, I want us to meditate on that. I want us to eat that. I want us to, listen, the presence of God is going to come in even a greater way. And all I want us to do is just turn all of our affection, just for a few moments, turn all of our affection. We aren't going to worry about work tomorrow. We're not going to worry about what we're going to eat later. We're not going to worry about whatever it is that we might do when we leave this place, that collectively, together as a body, as one, we are going to turn all of our attention at one time to the Lamb. You see, Jesus was broken open on the tree that we may be able to enjoy what was on the inside of him. In Exodus, it says that the Lamb was slain and that the blood was put over the doorpost, and thank God for the forgiveness of sins. But there's more than that. Then what they did was they put the Lamb on the altar and then they ate it. We must eat of the Lamb. So Jesus today has been broken open, and we're going to receive the life that was on the inside of him into ourselves in even a greater way. Can you go ahead and put that on, buddy? Wherever you're at, just make yourself comfortable. Listen, we are going to relax. We're going to press in. We're going to lean onto the bosom of Jesus in this moment. If you feel like you want prayer for something, if there's hindrances, if there's blocks in your heart that you want prayer for, that you want to for somebody to just agree with you, if you want a greater hunger stirred up in your heart to just sit and meet with Jesus with no agenda, there's no until when you're in his presence. It just is. It's the place we live. So I'm going to have Sam turn this up a little bit, and we're just going to worship, and we're going to sit here and give ourselves over fully to his presence.